Hey everybody, welcome back to the Four Pillar Effect. I hope you've been enjoying all the podcasts that I've been doing lately and the shows with the guest appearances of plenty of people who are doing the same thing as me, but more. And that's why I wanted to broadcast this podcast, is to let people know that it's possible for you to be an entrepreneur and do the things that you would love to do. So on today's show, we have Devin Youngblood, the host of The Youngblood Life. He is also a YouTuber, and this is his full-time job. He is able to support and feed his family. He has 5 kids, and he's able to do everything he wants to do on a day-to-day basis with them, with the support of YouTube and podcasting. So if you're interested in just living your life, then this is a very inspirational podcast for you to listen to today on today's episode, because we discussed that and love. So I hope you enjoy the show. God bless. Thank you for tuning in. All right, everybody. So we have Devin Youngblood, the host of the Youngblood Life podcast. And he and I are going to talk about love today and relationships. I was just spending some quality time with my wife. That's kind of why I was a little bit late to joining a recording with you.
Dude, never take let a podcast get interfere with quality time with your spouse. That's all I can say.
Well, well, the thing is she's being very supporting of me while everything is growing. And she was just like, yeah, go ahead and do what you got to do. So, you know, that's one of the pieces of love is support.
How long you guys been married?
Oh, man, we just got married in March, on March 13th.
Oh, man, congratulations. That is awesome. Seriously, yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Man, we'll go ahead and start the professional side of the interview. And can you go ahead and kind of do a little bit of advertising for your podcast? Tell us about you, what you do as a profession, and, you know, what your goal is and your message is for the community.
Well, technically, I guess my profession is podcasting and YouTube. That's literally what we do for a living.
Awesome.
I'm just dead serious. I mean, I get paid to hang out with my family and do fun stuff and do stuff like that. So it's always kind of cool to talk with people, and, you know, literally that's my life.
So, that's the life. That is the life.
I think
majority of, you know, people in America want that life nowadays, just be able to hang out and, you know, live the good life.
Well, I mean, and you know, it took a while to get here. I am, what, 40 years old, and, you know, been doing the podcast thing for a couple of years, been doing YouTube for a little over 10 years. Wow. You know, all these different things, and it's like anything. I mean, I turned my hobby into a full time gig. I mean, my background in general is actually sales and marketing, but I got out of that because I was traveling way too much. And then, you know, we started our family YouTube channel called The Youngblood Life, and been doing that for a while. And then it just started picking up, and we're still small, but we're making money. So that's what matters.
Okay. So what is small in your eyes? Because, I mean, obviously you guys are able to eat and you don't sound at all depressed or anything, or like you're having any kind of struggles. Obviously you're doing something right.
Small in numbers as far as people watch our YouTube channel and watch us on Facebook. I mean, you're looking at just in general, like if I went off the subs, like which most people go off the subscribers, we're looking right around close to 3,000. And literally, it's very little compared to half these people out there. I mean, we're no shaytards or anything like that. Like, right. They got millions and millions of subscribers. But it comes down, but like I said, my background is sales and marketing, so I've been able to, you know, mix a good bit of my background into what we want to do to pay for what we want to do. I mean, that's if that's the good way to say it.
So. Right. No, that's the perfect way to say it. So does your wife have an occupation right now, or is it kind of like you guys are teaming up to do this?
Well, so we team up to do this a couple of years. Last year? So we've got 5 kids.
Wow. And,
yeah. we're either crazy or stupid. I don't know.
It's a thin line.
There is a fine line between those two, I tell you that. No, but I mean, it comes down to where, you know, we've always done what we got to do. Our youngest, when he went to school, my wife says, hey, I want to go to and I want to go back to work. I'm like, I don't care. I mean, really, I'm not going to tell her what to do. She can beat the stuff out of me. No, she's actually the sweetest lady you ever meet. But no, I mean, my wife, she does work. She's a professional photographer. So I mean, that's her her living and things like that. But I mean, I'd say 80. About 80% of our entire income is actually off of podcasting and YouTube and Facebook. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. So is your following for your podcast just as big as your YouTube following? Because, I mean, for podcasting, 3,000 listeners, that's a lot.
Well,
I don't know if anybody understands the numbers and how they correspond between YouTube and podcasting, but you know, when you have 3,000 listeners, that is a lot.
Well, so basically, our YouTube is about 3,000 listeners, or watchers, should I say, between, and then for our podcast, I think we're hitting on average. Our average monthly download is right around 7,000 to 10,000. So wow. Yeah, so I mean, and you know, do that when we started doing it, you know, I was going out getting our own you know, brand deals and our own sponsors. Of course, now Anchor's like, hey, we'll get you covered too. So I'm like, okay, we'll let you do in the front. I'll do mine in the middle.
right.
Definitely. So
you got to hit all angles, man.
I got 5 kids and you know, a whole family to pay for. So yeah.
right. So, like the way that the show started off, and I love your energy, by the way, but the way how everything kind of started off, like I said, I want to talk about love and relationships with you, because I was going over some of your episodes on your podcast, and I'm sorry for, I know we were kind of going back and forth.
No,
you're, Messenger.
No, you're good. Have
so many scheduled people.
Well, I saw your post. I'm like, holy crap. And I went back. I'm like, he's going to be busy. And you're like, he's got to line it up. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a scheduling nightmare.
Yeah. It's been crazy. And then my wife was like, why don't you just set reminders? I'm like, I do.
Well, you know, that's actually something that I've got coming up and probably come out next year. I'm actually putting together a podcasting journal / scheduler. And so people can actually, for those that are of us out there that podcast, they can actually go and they can buy the thing and they can turn and they can actually schedule their entire, you know, year or 2 years or however they want to do it all in one thing. So that's, yeah.
See, there you go.
It makes life easy. For makes all life you easy.
Entrepreneurs, my guy has honestly just broke it down. When you hear a problem, you create a fix and then that's how you get paid. That's it. That's as simple as that.
Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, especially if you want to do this for a living, you got to do that. Anyway, yeah.
If you want to do something you like for a living, you got to do that. Or, well, you know, if you want to get some kind of passive income, but that's a whole different story.
Absolutely.
I'm about wealth so much this week. I really want to focus.
Let's focus on relationships and love.
Relationships and love, man.
You got five kids.
You got a wife. You're living a life. You get to spend time with them. So for you, I mean, it sounds like you got a lot of experience in that department, and I just want to hear some of your values and things that you care about, and what you know, what you think love is.
Oh shoot, well, love changes. No, I'm dead serious. So you know, this is my total take on just say love in general. So you know, when you first date, you're dating, and you got to be attracted. I don't care what anybody says. Well, you have to be attracted to that person in some way. And sometimes I'm not the greatest looking guy in the world, but sometimes you're like, my wife has got, I tell her she's got to be legally blind because I'm an ugly guy. No, but the reality is you got to be able to have some type of attraction to the person, whether it's their humor or something that wants you to be attracted to them. But then over time, I mean, we've been married. We'll be 18 years in January.
Well, congratulations, man!
We work in it. That's the hard part.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, it's a daily thing, and you know, so I would say with love changes as far as what's your idea of what you really think love is. I mean, a lot of times I think we confuse love with lust. We really do. Okay. I mean, and that's normal. I mean, hey, I lust after my wife daily. Come on. I mean, give me a break.
Right. Right.
So, but I mean, it comes, you have to, I think it just goes in that whole thing of you end up doing more than, it's hard to describe. It's kind of like you care about them more. You do. You care about them more than you would do anything else. And, you know, one thing I've tried to do out of all our almost 18 years of marriage, I've tried to learn something new about my wife every day. And let me tell you, I'm still doing it. That's, which is, sounds crazy, but there's seriously so much about her that I do know. And then there's so much that I don't know. So that's a simple way to look at it, I guess. But, you know.
Okay. So you said a couple of things that really kind of sparked some neurons, I guess, off with me. And one of those things is that the initial attraction, and this is something I want to hit on. So if you give me a couple of seconds, I guess, to kind of put my two cents in.
You good, man.
I think, would you agree when I make this statement that initial attraction kind of puts people in the realm of putting on a mask? And, you know, because the thing is that I see a lot in relationships is like the first, the honeymoon phase is the phase where it's like, I guess you could say that people respect each other the most because they have that lust after each other and they want to get, you know, something out of it. And
right.
after that, it's like that starts to wear off. That mask, well, starts to wear off.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think, well, and plus, okay, let's break it down to people in general. Most people in general, when they're trying to, you know, get to know someone, they kind of hide a lot of things that they don't, that they're afraid that they're hide their, because I say hide, it's not really the right word, but they're self-conscious about certain things about themselves that they're afraid that the other person may not like.
Right.
And that tends to happen to everybody. I mean, I see my oldest daughter, she's 17, and I see her going through the same stuff, and I just tell them, be yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the hard part.
From the first, that, dude, I mean, all right. So
is it not hard? It's hard because you're like, what if they don't like this? Well, if they don't like that,
well,
you know, here's the thing. If they like you, they'll get over
exactly.
it. You think about your best buddies out there. Your best buddies, there's some things that really piss you off about.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is you're like, hey, well, cool, whatever. And it works out. That's how it works.
Right. I mean, because I know when me and my wife started dating, I mean, she was very independent. She's a very independent woman. And I remember one of the first dates I took her on, I paid for the meal, and she was kind of offended by me doing that, and she just let me know, like, I could pay for myself, and she was just kind of not on a, she didn't come off rude or anything, she heard exact words were, you didn't have to pay for me, and I just said, I know I didn't have to, but I wanted to, you know.
Well,
and I think that a lot of people kind of take things the wrong way sometimes, but I appreciate her doing that in the early stages so we could go ahead and talk about, you know, like, okay, this is what's going on between, you know, what you're used to and who I am.
Well, and I think we've strayed. I mean, I look at old pictures of my grandparents and, you know, how they were all dressed dapper and looking things like that. But I think a lot of times we've strayed away from the realm of, you know, being a gentleman. It's not really that accepted these days, which is sad. Right. I mean, you know, open up the door for your wife, open or your girlfriend, or just simple things like that. It's not that she couldn't pay for herself.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you're like, oh, I'm sure you could, but you wanted to pay for it. I mean, that's just, I think in many cases, well, it's like this. So my wife and I, every week we go out on a date. So I pay for one date. She'll pay for another date. So we literally go back and forth. That's what it does. Right. And yes, her money is her money and my money is her money, but I get it. Yeah.
No. That's how it works.
But so I know, but I mean, it as funny as it is, but the reality is, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, you take care of each other, and like she did. I mean, she didn't do it in a rude way up front, but she's saying, but I can do this. You're like, oh, I know you can,
right.
But I wanted to do it this time. So maybe she did it the next time. Who knows?
Exactly. That's just, is that you are very, very right. And my eyes didn't get opened into this, realm of people aren't gentlemen as much as they used to be, because like, you know, I'd open doors for her, and there would be plenty of times like she tried to open the door. I'm like, no, I got it. And, you know, she kind of just told me like, well, you know, I'm not used to that. Like, guys that I was talking to before you didn't really do that. So it was kind of like a culture shock for her. And then it was also like a culture shock on me. Like, there's always two sides of the story. So it was a culture shock absolutely. On me because I was like, what? Like, what? What?
Well,
you didn't do what?
But, well, and then that, you know, here I am. Like I said, I'm 40 years old, and my, you know, I was actually teaching my kids just a few minutes ago stuff that they don't know. Like, so I was actually teaching my kids how to do a, you know, lay out a formal dinner table. And most people don't even have a clue how that happens.
Right.
And, you know, because that's stuff that I was taught as a kid from my parents.
Right.
And I think that we, you know, when it comes to relationships, I think there's a lot of things that have fallen by the wayside. You know, I hear my kids, my boys, and I have to correct my boys sometimes. I'm like, listen, you don't talk about women this way. You know, they'll sit there. Oh, she's hot. I'm like, listen, she's a lady. I said, now, and I always remind them, you know, just think about you're the father. Would you want some kids talking about your daughter? Like you're talking about these young ladies. And they're like, I'm like, that's the point.
Right.
So I said, you show them respect. I mean, and then I said, as you show respect, they'll show respect. I said, a lot of times they'll be so shocked that you're so respectful and that you're so, you know, caring that they'll get rid of these, these loser guys out there. I mean, there are.
Oh, and yeah.
Oh man. I mean, tell you, I was, you know, it's always funny. Seems like that growing in high school, everybody, and I have one friend of mine, no joke. He's like, high school's the greatest years of your life. I'm like, you're an idiot. But he's like, I said, if that was your greatest years, you got a problem. But I said, the reality is most people don't understand how to, you know, keep that spark going. You know, I've got a friend of mine. He's been married 4 times.
Wow.
Well, he tells me, he goes, we just fell out of love. I'm like, okay. And he keeps going. He goes, if this one don't work out, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I told him, I said, well, if this one don't work out, maybe it's time for you to start thinking it's not them. It's actually you.
Yeah. I mean, and it sounds so cliche, man, to hear that. But I mean, it goes deeper than just the saying, because nowadays I feel like so many people, they want to put fault on other people. And that's the thing. Like, in the beginning, it's all about, oh, what am I doing for this person to like me? So if you go out on a date and, like, let's say, you know, typically it's like the first date is like dinner, right?
Right.
You know, and let's say typically, like, guys, like, I know I eat really fast. Like, I eat super fast. But I know, like, most people who go on, like, that first date, they want to eat, you know, properly, and they want to speak right, they want to sit up straight and all this. And then eventually it kind of is like, all that wears off and you get to see the real side of the, you know, the real core of the person. And the thing about it is like in the beginning of the relationship, a lot of people are very self-aware, but I believe that as time goes on, it's like that fault and that blame and what could be fixed goes from the person who wants to be with someone to, oh, you should want to be with me.
Well, no. And that's it. I mean, when it comes to any relationship, the key thing, and this is my personal opinion, so whether people believe me or not or whatever, I don't really give a crap. But the reality is, you know, we've been married 18 years, so what? So we're doing something.
Yeah, you
got to
be doing something right.
I mean, and so I try to put her first, and she always tries to put me first. And you know, and here's okay. So simple relationship, very easily. When you first get married, everything is perfect and beautiful.
I guess so.
So they say. Okay. And then, but then as you get to know each other, things come out. I read an article the other day. It talks about how it's kind of funny, but it says couples that fart in front of each other tend to have longer lasting relationships.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Well,
there's a reason behind the whole article is because if you get that comfortable with a person, that they're willing, that, you know, it's kind of like when we first got married, you know, I would give my wife space a little bit in the bathroom, let her take care of business and everything. But now, after so long, I'll be in there doing my business. She walks in and starts brushing her teeth. I'm like, really? Yeah, really?
We haven't, y'all on that next level. We haven't really reached that level quite yet. Almost there. But yeah.
You'll get there. You'll get
eventually.
There.
Hopefully. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal in marriage. Is, you know, being able to be in the bathroom while two different things are going on like that. But you know, you said something else that kind of brought me back into my love life. And you were like, you try and put your wife first all the time, and she does the same for you. Does that ever, or has it ever caused conflict? Because I know for us, sometimes it causes conflict because it's like, oh, well, I was thinking about you, and then she tells me, well, I was thinking about you.
Well, it's kind of like you'll go out with your wife, and you're like, and the question is, what are we going to do for dinner? And you're like, I don't know. Why don't you pick? And they're like, well, I don't care. And then you say, so you don't want to pick out something that they don't want to eat, and they don't want to pick out something that you don't want to eat. So you end up saying, well, let's go get tacos. But then they say, well, I really didn't want to have tacos. And that's the hard part about relationships. I mean, you have to, you just have to figure out what the happy medium is, and you do put that person first. And there are moments of selfishness, and that's going to happen. But long as the selfishness doesn't interfere with the greater plan, I mean, if back probably about 10 years ago, it was a Father's Day, and my wife didn't have any clue what I wanted for Father's Day. And so it was like, it was a Saturday before Father's Day, and I'm driving by this gun shop. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go get me a gun. And so I'm going there, but I've always wanted a little .22 rifle. So I bought myself a .22 rifle, went home. I said, thank you for the Father's Day present. And she was a little bit perturbed, but then she was like, okay, I'm cool with that.
Right. There you go.
So,
yeah, I mean, sometimes it works. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't, because I know with us, it's like, oh, well, wait, cause I mean, I got a Taurus, the Judge, one day, and she didn't know that I had bought it, and she just saw it one day. She was like, well, when did you get this? And I was like, yeah, I got that a couple months ago. sorry I didn't tell you, but yeah, that's the gift from you. That's a gift from you. Just let you know.
My wife would have said, where's mine?
yeah, she hits me with that a lot. She hits me with that a lot. So when are you going to get me this? And I'm like, but that's you know, that's part of being in a relationship, because sometimes it does, like you said, the selfishness does kick in sometimes. And then it's like, I think people take it the wrong way when those comments are being said. And I joke with my wife all the time. And, you know, she makes comments like, oh, well, when are you going to give me this? And I'm just like, oh, well, one day, you know, we'll see. But then, you know, I try and surprise her and stuff. And that's the thing that I wanted to talk about, too, is like, I think that certain people have a problem with being surprised with certain things. So I don't know if you've ever had that problem in your relationship with being surprised, or, you know, your wife. How susceptible is she to being surprised by certain gifts that you give? Like, would you guys rather pick something together, or you hear her say that she wants something, or you surprise her with something? Because I feel like if you can do that, and that person's like, oh my God, you know me so well, then that builds a better bond sometimes. This is just my personal opinion.
Well, for me, it seems like it's a smaller thing. It's like, you know, I'll occasionally, you know, without her knowing, I mean, my wife likes flowers and things like that. And some women do not like flowers. Some women don't like any of that stuff, but my wife likes flowers. And I'll just go to her, you know, her work, or I'll meet up with her somewhere and I'll have flowers for her, or I'll have flowers delivered to her.
Right.
And you know, I guess that's more of a pride thing on my side, mm-hmm. because when we first got married, my mother-in-law told my wife, give it a year and give it 6 months and the flowers will stop. And so the flowers have never stopped. They haven't. They really haven't. So maybe that was a dare on my mother-in-law's side, right. Just to try to prove just to, so my wife would always have that gift there for her. Mm-hmm. But maybe she was doing reverse psychology. I don't know.
Maybe she was.
But yeah. But surprises, though, I mean, in general, I mean, I don't mind a surprise. My wife likes surprises. I know here in when we hit our 20th anniversary, she doesn't know what we're going to do, but I'm going to surprise her with a nice anniversary.
Yeah, don't tell her, because she might listen to this podcast.
Yeah, she will. So it's going to be something nice. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Well, I know, especially
getting her hopes up too high.
No, it'll be good, because let me tell you, we eloped. When we got married, we eloped. Her parents were against us getting married. My parents were against us getting married. And so we just ran away and got married. No, we did. We really did.
That's beautiful, man. That's like courage. And, you know, that's part of love, too, is like the courage aspect. And like you were talking about your friend who you say he's on his fourth marriage right now.
He's on his fourth, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Either he's meeting some pretty bad chicks, or he just doesn't have his stuff together. And I think that courage is like one of the biggest aspects of love, because to say that you love someone, and you know, my definition of love, my personal definition of love is like putting somebody else first for their betterment.
Well, and that's it. I mean, and that's exactly right. I mean, in any relationship, the reality is you don't want to do anything to hurt that person. And there's been moments when I've said things to my wife, you know, out of the heat of the moment that I hurt her feelings, and she's done the same thing for me. And then, but knowing when and how to say sorry, that's seriously the key thing is, and on the man side, a lot of times you have to say sorry, even though you're not wrong.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh my God, I don't even want to get into that too deep, because I know my wife is gonna listen to this. But yeah,
she's gonna be nudging you. See, okay. Listen to that man. Here's the thing: you may be right in your marriage, but you're still wrong.
Oh yeah.
That's the reality.
Dude, I end up apologizing for stuff that I was being nice about, and it's like, well, okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't even mean it in like a condescending way, but it's just like, I'm sorry. I was so nice. I'm sorry. I was so nice about that. You know, or
right?
Or it's just like you're right. But it's like sometimes it's like they catch on and it's like, what do you mean I'm right? Like that type of thing. So it's like, oh my God, you can't win for losing.
Well, when it comes to women, bottom line is you'll never win.
You never do.
The
art of war is like designed in their DNA. It's just like put there.
That is why it's terrifying to think if we ever had a female president. There doesn't matter what would happen. I don't care who it would be. No other country would ever win.
No.
That's just the reality.
Yeah, it'd be over. It'd just be like, yeah, before it even started. Okay, there it is. We won. Like, I don't know, man. It's women are just beautiful creatures. And I think that it's confusing sometimes the things that they do. But then when you really think about it, it's like.
Well, I've had to apologize to my wife about a dream that she had about something that I did in her dream. So, yes, you are absolutely correct. So you tell me, when you have to apologize for something that you didn't even do, but it was in her dream, so it was real because it was in her dream.
Dude, you ain't the only one. Honestly, you ain't the
only one. So that is women in a nutshell right there.
Yeah, but you see, that's the beauty behind it, because it's like
absolutely
that it the things that are in their mind, it's all about depth versus width. And I think that's the huge difference between women and men, majority of the time, especially in the generations that's coming along now, I think that a lot of men think like with, like, oh, there's so many women out here, and you know, this, that, and the other. And then women are just like, I just want a guy who, you know, does X, Y, Z. Most of the time, that's what you see. Sometimes it's reverse, and that's when you have the, you know, quote unquote, the good guy, which there's a lot of them out there.
There are,
but. Yeah, I think that women usually are depth versus width.
Well, with any thing when it comes to when it comes to men and women, the biggest difference that I see, and this is, you have to understand how women think, and that's very difficult for one. But the part to understand how they think is most women, they don't really think logically. Now, I'll have every woman who listens to this tell me I'm completely wrong, but. No, it's true. So men tend to think more logically. They're, you know, we're more task. A lot of times in general, this is general terms. Men are more task oriented. Okay, do this, and done. But women think about the emotional side of everything. And where men, that's why if there's any conflict in the marriage, it's usually because the woman is thinking on the emotional side. She may be thinking about the logical side too, but the emotional side is actually much higher than the logical side.
Right.
And so because of that, they want to do it what makes them feel better and makes everyone happier. And then, and that, you know, happiness is one of the biggest motivators for anybody. And so if you have those two in there, you just have to, the men have to understand we have to put ourselves in their shoes.
Right.
And that's honestly how you keep a woman. That's how you keep a wife for a long time is thinking about them. And you put yourself in their shoes.
Oh yeah.
And I don't always do that, but I should do it more, but that's cause I'm a dumb idiot man, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, we all are. And that's the beauty behind the conversation that we're having right now is that, you know, you said some things that really just kind of, they all mesh together. And some people would listen to some of the things you're saying and say they're contradicting, but they mesh together because, for instance, you said that, you know, there's some selfish sides to, you know, being in a relationship, and that does come up at times. But then it's like the way for everybody to be happy is in those hard situations is for you to be able to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And to me, that's not selfish. So some people could argue and say, oh, well, you're contradicting yourself. But at the same time, those two go hand in hand because
they do.
You can't always think about the other person, because if you do, then you're going to end up unhappy. Inevitably.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, happiness has to be on both sides. I mean, I always think about my wife and, you know, well, it's like, you know, me buying the gun. I wanted it. She didn't know what I wanted for Father's Day. And I really didn't tell her. So that was selfish on my side for me to just go do it. But on the other side, she loved me so much. And she was like, okay, cool. No big deal. I mean, she was a little upset, but then she came and said, it's fine. She goes, this is perfectly fine. She goes, I did not know what to get you. But, so we got you this. And so she goes, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of those guys. So I got some brothers. I'm number six of seven kids. I have a couple of brothers. I will not name names because if they listen to this thing, then exactly. and so they, you know, but some of them actually asked their wives for permission to go, say, play basketball with the boys. Mm-hmm. And I've never once asked my wife for permission to do anything. That's the whole dynamic of our relationship. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, we both know what the schedule is. We know what the kid has to be done with the kids. We both know it has to be done in the house. And so if there's time, I'll say, hey, I'm thinking about going to do this.
Right.
Do you know of anything on the calendar that would prevent that? And if she'd say, well, I wanted to go do this with you. And I'm like, okay, I can put that to the side. But in another time, she'd be like, hey, yeah, go ahead. No big deal. And she's the same way. Because it's all about that communication and, you know, understanding each other and knowing how each other communicate.
Right.
So, right. I mean, that's my opinion.
And that's another thing too, is like nowadays I've heard so many things from so many people on, you know, like relationships and just the girlfriend, boyfriend phase. And then, you know, a couple of my friends have taken that step to get married, but I see a lot of people usually just want things like their life to be spontaneous and just like, oh, we're doing this today. But and anybody who's listening to this, I hope that you're listening to what I'm about to say very, very closely. When you're saying that you guys have a rhythm and you have a schedule and you know what is going on and you don't have to ask those questions, that's structure. You have a foundation. So when those times do come up, those quote unquote spontaneous times, that is so much more appreciated. And I think that the generation that's going up now, my generation a little bit younger, they're so used to things just being like music, for instance. Like people are putting out music way faster than back in the 90s. Like,
oh my gosh, dude.
Like one album comes out and that's what you're listening to for like 6 months.
It's really the coolest thing ever because I mean I was a DJ when I was younger, so I love music and I love how quick it is. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but yeah. So with that, I think that instant gratification is one of those things that people are so susceptible to nowadays, and I think that is really just screwing people's minds up when it comes down to appreciating things. I think that people just need to realize like there is like you have to have some type of schedule, some type of foundation in order to appreciate those small things or even the big things in life. Because if you're just always, you know, and I think that that's what leads to people being broke all the time or, you know, unhealthy mentally or spiritually or emotionally, is just like they just expect so much to happen every single day when it's not like, oh, I know what's going to happen today. That doesn't mean that it's boring. That just means that this is the life that I built for myself. And if you're bored with that, then you probably need to, you know, change the way that you built your life, is how I look at it.
Well, there's nothing ever wrong with routine.
Yeah,
but you do have to get out of the routine, and you do have to have those moments of spontaneity. Right. That has to happen. And you know, you can get in a routine, especially when it comes to marriage and relationships and dating. You can get in that same routine and you get into that rut. Instead of, you know, especially if a person just say they're just dating and they date the same girl for who knows how long, whatever. And they're like, well, we're stuck in a routine and we're thinking about breaking up. Well, problem is because they haven't decided to throw some spontaneity in that routine. So you have to have some type of change in that relationship. And it's not, and a lot of times it's not necessarily you're tired of the person. It's you're tired of what you're doing. So you need to change it up a little bit. I mean,
hit the nail on the head, man. Honestly, and that's what it is. It's like you're tired of what you're doing, not the person. Most of the time, it's not the person. It's the process.
That's exactly right.
You're tired of the process, and some people are just punks, and they're just like, oh, you know what? I'm sick of this. And some people, you know, they don't even try. It's like, and that's where the change comes in. Like if you want to process the change, then some kind of way you're gonna have to change. I'm speaking to people who are single. And if you're in a relationship and you want to process the change, then now it's harder to be in a relationship, but it's so much easier at the same time, because it's like you have two people who have to change. But once you have those two people who change and they're committed to something, now you have more accountability.
Correct.
It's harder to run away from accountability when you have somebody else staring you in the face and saying, hey, this is what we said we were going to do.
Well, the problem is, I mean, and you hit the nail on the head right there when it comes to accountability, that most people don't, they say they don't mind accountability, but accountability is there for two things. One, it helps you grow. And two, it makes it where you're not overstepping your bounds on anything. And if you're held accountable, like if I do something that's completely dumb, my wife will definitely tell me,
right,
why did you do that? I mean, she calls me out, and I respect that because, you know, I'm born and raised in the South. We moved to Utah 4 years ago, actually moved out here for work there's a big YouTube community here. That's part of one reason we are out here too.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, the things that happen if you don't have all that accountability when it comes to, you know, any relationship, you got to be accountable for what you're doing. You got to be accountable for what you're saying. And I have said some really stupid things in my life, and I probably continue will. I mean, I look forward to the day when I'm an old man and I don't even have to worry about a filter. But you know, those days are still too far ahead of me right now.
Right. I think everybody looks forward to that. I know I am.
My dad can say, he can go, oh, my dad will go. We take him out on his birthday every year, and we go in there and here he is. He's what, 78 years old, been married for 50 years. Ooh. And he's there. And if I was to say some of the stuff to some of these waitresses, like he says, I'd get slapped. I'm like, Dad, I'm just playing around. I know, Dad, but, but yeah. No, my dad's funny. My mom, she's like, whatever. She's like, I can't change him. He is what he is.
Yeah. Like, dude, we've been together for 50 years. Like, come on. Like, you know I ain't going nowhere.
Well, I was with my daughter the other day. This is, I'll say the other day. It's been about 2 months. And we're inside this convention hall. I talk to everybody. It's a Southern thing. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you got going in your life. I will talk to you about anything and everything. I'll tell you stuff about me you probably don't even care to know, but I'll tell you anyway. And so this woman comes up and she's talking to me, and I'm talking back and all this other stuff. And there's no, I'm not flirting at all. I'm like, I'm just answering questions. All I feel like I'm doing. And and yes, I've got my wedding ring on. I always wear it. And but she's just sitting there talking and talking and talking. My daughter, she's getting madder and madder. I look at her and I can tell she's getting so pissed. So we excuse ourselves. I walk away and she says, Dad. I'm like, what? She goes, I'm telling Mom. I'm like, what are you telling Mom? What do I do? She goes, she was flirting with you. I said, well, go ahead, tell your mom. We get home and she tells my wife, and my wife's like, okay, so? And she's like, but she was flirting with Dad. And my wife says, well, your dad's clueless, first of all. Second of all, he ain't going nowhere.
There you go. Yeah.
And I said, thank you.
Yeah.
So, I think a problem with a lot of guys and a lot of girls out there when they're in a relationship, when you first get into a relationship, you're like, man, I got prime rib. But then you've been in it for a while. You're like, oh, great. I don't have prime rib. I actually have hamburger.
Yeah.
And so that's why they start looking around for the next prime rib. Yeah. The reality is, prime rib is you have prime rib, but just because you eat prime rib every day and you're with prime rib every day, you're like, well, I'm tired of it. To be honest, you need to continue to think, I got prime rib, so what can I do to make that prime rib even better?
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. And I think that's what happens to a lot of relationships. They keep thinking they have to move to get to keep prime rib around when they already have it.
Yeah.
But they forget.
Oh, yeah. They forget until they're reminded, and they go from prime rib in their mind. They got hamburger, but then they move on to cube steak, and they're like, "What the hell did I do?"
Well, you're right. They think you're absolutely right. I mean, I have another friend of mine years ago. He was dating this girl. She was beautiful. She had a great personality and everything. They dated for probably 4 or 5 years, and he moved on. And when he moved on, I mean, I hate to say it, his next girl, I won't say she was ugly. She was ugly. I mean, her, seriously, personality wise, and honestly, and the way she looked. I'm not trying to bash on anybody by any means.
This is your opinion, though. Yeah, this is.
It is. And he asked me, what do you think? I said, hey, if you guys work, you guys work. He goes, no, what do you think? You think she's hot? I said, she's not what I think is beautiful. I said, what I think is beautiful is totally different what you think is beautiful. I said, that's the glory of the way God made us. Right. You know,
it's an eye of the ball.
And that's what I would tell you. So, yeah. So, but I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that makes sense. All right. So. Okay. Well, Devin, we're going a little bit over my time limit. I usually try and keep these interviews 30 minutes or less. But
I apologize.
No, man. No, don't apologize for that. This was a beautiful conversation. I think the love is.
I talk too much.
Nah, not at all. But yeah, you go ahead and wrap things up. Please tell us where we can find you on YouTube, on Anchor, or any podcast platform, or if you have a website or anything, just go ahead and let's do a little bit of advertising.
Pretty much you can find us anywhere and everywhere through the name The Young Blood Life. Just like it sounds, Young Blood.
All right.
The Young Blood Life. So Facebook, YouTube, our podcast, our website is actually theyoungblood.life. I mean, so it's literally The Young Blood Life is the easiest way to find us.
Gotcha. All right, everybody. So Google The Young Blood Life and you'll find Devin everywhere, just about on every platform that you can. And I really appreciate you talking to me today. And
dude, it was awesome. I appreciate this. I love talking to people about anything and everything. So seriously, I'll say it right now. Those that listen, if you don't continue to listen to this podcast, you're crazy, because this is some amazing stuff all the time. I mean, I went and did a binge the other day when you sent it to me. I just binge listened. I'm like, man, I like this. Well, I'm serious.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me. I hope you continue to listen, and we'll definitely collaborate in the future.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
All right, brother. God bless. Have a good day.
You too. See you. Bye.